RS intervju.
V današnjem RS intervjuju se pogovarjamo z Jakubom Kubo Žolekom, frontmenom polske zasedbe Alameda, ki bo v petek 9. maja nastopila na dogodku ob 56. rojstnem dnevu Radija Študent na Ljubljanski Metelkovi v Channel Zero. Žoleka smo ujeli dan pred odhodom na turnejo, katere del bo tudi omenjeni koncert v sklopu rojstnodnevnega praznovanja. V pogovoru pa je pojasnil, kako je zasedbo začel in predvsem, kako se je razvijala v več kot 10 letih od nastanka. Z Jakobom sem se pogovarjal Dušan.
Okay, thank you so much for doing this and for coming to Ljubljana to play.
Yeah, a pleasure for us.
So maybe we could start with some retrospect. I know that Alameda is more than a decade old. I'd like to know what's your initial intent with the band. Was it more like more room to improvise in contrast to your other bands, or I'm just speculating? What was your intent with the band initially?
At the beginning, Alameda started as my solo project. I went to the studio and recorded an album all by myself. I played on all the instruments like bass, drums, guitar, vocals, and other stuff. But then I wasn't like really happy with the results. I guess it was too early for me. So this record never was released. And then after 1 or 2 years, I decided to have Alameda expand into a trio with like a regular power trio rock band that were performing my music. And we recorded the first album called Późne Królestwo. Which is still, I guess, my favorite Alameda's album, though it was recorded in a very erratic manner. But it's I really enjoyed this record. And then out of necessity and kind of as a result of members of the band leaving for other cities, we decided to make like a spin-off of Alameda that quickly became, because the first incarnation was called Alameda 3, that released the album Późne Królestwo, and then the spin-off was Alameda 5. This is about this time that it started to occur to me that we can like actually make an experiment with this group and have this band, this one band, be multiple, following the rule that one equals plural, so that we can have different groups, like different Alamedas, as an expression of one multiplicity. And so we started proliferating and making other Alamedas. There was also Alameda 2, Alameda 4. And so it was like a very interesting experiment that was kind of inspired by Rob Mazurek's project, Chicago Underground. In terms of form of the group, not music. Obviously. And so this was like a very fun experiment, and all these groups at one point performed, existed simultaneously. So there was like four Alamedas playing, and all these groups have had different lineups, different people performing. I was like the constant member, and also my friend Mikołaj Zieliński was the constant member, but other personnel was constantly shifting, and the music was sometimes radically different in some ways. And it was very interesting, but at some point, I guess it became sort of like a practical nightmare, because especially in times when booking concerts started becoming more and more difficult, there was not really in Poland room for Alamedas. When we wanted to book a gig, you know, often organizers told us that, yeah, but we already had Alameda. Yeah, but this is Alameda 4, and earlier we performed with Alameda 2. It was like completely different band, but for them it was, no, we had Alameda this year, so no more Alameda. Like, so yeah, after this, we decided that maybe this experiment, although it's fun and interesting, and it was like very, I don't know, unique in Poland, because it was like very, you know, everybody was sort of just working in a collective, but with different faces of the collective. But at some point we decided, yeah, it's like, it's not practical. It's very hard to book gigs in this way. So we have to like maybe not completely abandon the idea, but just suspend it for some time. And so what we were left was just Alameda 5, which slightly changed their logo to just, you can just read it Alameda if you want.
Yeah, so this was around the pandemic in 2019, maybe 20, before the Spectra, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's interesting that it that the musical reality had to like influence
verify our expectations, definitely.
Yeah. So,
as it always does.
Yeah, you sort of already described what were the iterations of Alameda, and I'd like to ask or talk about the growth of the band or the project in terms of musical influences and sort of phases of the band. Are there any kind of concrete turning points for these creative shifts? For example, do you just decide one day, okay, we want to go more into improvising, or we want to stick more to the electronics, or is it like a process where you or other band members come in with ideas? I'd like to kind of know how is your sound shaped?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so at the beginning, Alameda was just like mostly performing my compositions, and then I was just like producing them in the studio. This is how the first album of Alameda 3, Późne Królestwo, happened. And it was influenced mostly by folk music. And I guess what I was listening to the most of the time at that point was kind of like Japanese psychedelic scene of the 90s, and also like the krautrock of the 70s. So it was kind of inspired by, obviously, like Japanese music of the 90s was inspired by krautrock of the 70s. So basically it all leads to bands like Amundul, and that were like very, very influential for me at the beginning. So it was like, you know, just psychedelic rock or psychedelic folk, but just adding more overdrive, more distortion, and experimenting with some sounds that weren't available in the 70s. So this was like the krautrock was basically the biggest influence at the beginning of Alameda. And then I guess that our influences were kind of expanding. We had some black metal influences as well, with different Alamedas. We also had some more acoustic tendencies, folk or for example, Alameda duo, like Alameda just with me and Mikołaj Zieliński, just two people in the band. We were sort of inspired by ancient Greek music. That was, you know, we performed on just two acoustic guitars.
Yeah, strings. Yeah.
And, you know, with Alameda 5, I guess that our influences were, at the beginning, were the most broad spectrum, no pun intended. And our, I can say, first album, Duch Tornada, that was released in 2015, it was really just like a collage of very different stuff. And this album was recorded in very different, very strange way, because we only had like, I don't know, five or six songs when we recorded the album. And we were only four people. So there, it was like really Alameda 4. But our friend just, he never played with us before, maybe one concert. Just as, you know, spontaneously joined us, it was Rafał Iwański, who is a percussionist. And so we invited him to the studio because we said, yeah, you played one concert with us, you can as well just play some percussion on our album. And he did, and also the, you know, members of the band, like the drummers and the bass guitarists, they recorded some improvisations. And then we, me and Łukasz Jędrzejczak from Alameda 5, we started, you know, in the more at the stage of production and mixing, we started adding some things and coming up with new things, new, like more ambient music. And it was like really a strange collage of very not so much prepared and not so much thought out experiments that really shaped the strange diverse sound of the of Alameda's Duch Tornada. There were also, like, you know, jazz musicians that were invited to perform, and we expanded more on the electronic side of the group. So it was still crowd rock influenced. But I guess that at this point we kind of lost track of our influences, and we were just like throwing everything into the pot and just, you know, whatever idea we had, it was just like, yeah, okay, let's try this, you know. And then, you know, yeah, we recorded an album that was like 80 minutes long and had very strange, not so coherent structure.
So what I'm getting from this is that it's actually quite an organic process. You just I guess do what inspires you at the moment, so it brings out quite different results, right?
Yeah, but I guess that everything that we tried to do was somehow, we knew that we wanted to be somehow psychedelic and somehow loud and somehow very expressive. So you had some like general directions what we want to do with our sound, but not so much with specific genres, you know. We never thought that we want to play like rock music or jazz music or metal music or folk music. It was just like the different genres were kind of not really important for us. It was just, you know, having the overall effect of some kind of mysterious psychedelic trance like complex nature of music, but not so much. We are not focused on just performing particular genres of music.
And maybe for an intermezzo, how much of the material is written in advance, and how much do you rely on improvisation?
At the beginning, we kind of relied on improvisation more, but then it started to shift. So now basically we just use improvisation as a you know, methodical tool for coming up with ideas for new songs. But you know, for a few years we were not really improvising in the studio. We were just but partly because we're not really improvisers. I mean, maybe our drummer Jacek Bull, he has like the most the most background in improvisation, but other bands, it's really hard to call us improvisers because we are not you know, we're not like very skilled musicians, but we and at some point, you know, our improvisations were kind of started to sound very similar. It was always kind of going into a way of, you know, just having like a trance rock structure. So it was like our improvisations were not really interesting at some point because they were always kind of like giving us the same results. So we decided that yeah, improvisation is okay as a, just like a tool for coming up with ideas for a song, but not really with just recording and improvisation, because we are, you know, we are limited musicians, so there, you know, our results were also quite limited.
Okay, so then came the pandemic, and also after the pandemic came kind of refreshed Alameda, and its Spectra era. I'd like to focus on it a bit more since you're performing the album, and so Spectra is quite a shift. I'd really like to know what was the reason to go more into the Afro rhythms and general enthusiasm with African music, and to basically go into electronica.
Yeah, around the time of pandemic, I guess that we had a little bit of a crisis in Alameda, because we tried some new songs, but we weren't really happy with how they sounded. We did like three or four new tracks, but very quickly we kind of abandoned them because, you know, we felt that we wanted to try something new, but the stuff that we were coming up with was not really exciting for us. It wasn't really anything that we wanted to develop further. So we were kind of left in limbo when, you know, we made a few new songs, but we weren't happy with them and we really didn't know what to do apart from them, like to come up with anything really new and fresh and interesting that we would like to perform live. So yeah, we were kind of like looking for new influences and new, we knew that this music will be sort of rhythm based, but we were kind of like looking for a source for inspiration for us that we hadn't previously realized. And well, in my other band, that was also included some members of Alameda. This band was called Tien Lai. We were sort of developing a, kind of a like African influenced industrial techno music. And we had like two live drummers who had some background in, like, they participated in African drumming music workshops and stuff like that, so they knew some basic rhythms. And me and Łukasz Jędrzejczak from Alameda, we provided some sort of like a hard techno industrial bass for this. And it was developing, it's been developing since 2015. So we kind of like had this idea of African influenced club music, but we were kind of doing it in our own, yeah, we were doing just our own thing, and we didn't really have any clear idea what we are doing, because I think that, you know, Niega Niega, I think, wasn't really there at this point. I think that the first Niega Niega release was like 2017. And
yeah,
also,
and the boom later, yeah.
Yeah, and also like stuff that we are influenced now, you know, just like Principe Discos, we really didn't know anything about them at the point, or like the Gcom O label from South Africa, also I guess appeared later. So yeah, so we kind of had this idea for African influenced club music, but we were kind of like doing it just simply our of just basically from our own imagination and head. heads. And then we discovered Niege Niege, we discovered Hakuna Kulala, we discovered Gokom from South Africa, we discovered Batida from Lisbon with the label Principi Discos. And we discovered Biofunk from Brazil. So we were looking for all these influences, and we decided that yeah, we have this idea for like very heavily influenced by African rhythm music, club music, and now we have all these great influences, and we can we can just try to converge them and to try to make something original out of it, you know, just. Because we had this background in more experimental, psychedelic, avant-garde, krautrock. We had this whole experimental background. So yeah, we can just try to work with the influences, with the rhythms from all these exciting new club music genres from all around the world, and just try to like provide something original and something new with just like playing with those ideas that we suddenly all discovered all around us, and they appeared to us very fresh, very exciting, just basically just like new forms of music that were developing under our noses, and we didn't like come into this just completely out of nowhere, because as I said, you know, we had for a long time this idea of African-based club music, and now we had like very concrete, very exciting new tools at our disposal, and once we started playing with those rhythms, we started expanding them in Alameda. We finally came to the point when we said, yeah, this is the kind of music that we want to do, because if we hadn't discovered these influences, we would probably break up, because as I said at the beginning, we were really in sort of a crisis of identity at this point.
I see. And then I think that Volume 2 Spectra was kind of a step a bit more back to the old Alameda, if you would agree or wouldn't. So is it kind of the whole Spectra era is now maybe in the phase of going back to equilibrium in terms of old Alameda and now the new Alameda?
Yeah, I wouldn't really agree, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you feel like it is, the Spectra 2 is more like the early Alameda, I know it's okay. Yeah, but to me, I don't see it that way. And I don't know if we are like have few new tracks that will be released on a new album, and we are starting to just actually with this tour that we are embarking on, we are starting to play them live. So we have like four new tracks, so we still don't know what is going to be the final shape of this new music, but I mean, I think that it would be great to have like this new more club African based sound of Alameda be more and more infused with our experimental and psychedelic approach. So it would be great if it was the case. However, you know, once you're in the process, you cannot really step back and look at it from like, you know, a God's point of view. Just, you know, you basically every time we do something, we only, you know, realize after some time what we've done. So, you know, it's hard to say in advance where is it going, but definitely it's we're more conscious of our abilities and more conscious of the influences, so and more aware of like the experimentation that we can provide with our background. So I guess that maybe there will be some form of equilibrium at the end. However, I know equilibrium for me equals death. So
okay,
maybe.
Okay, I
It's
understand.
not a good idea to have
Yeah.
equilibrium.
Okay, so I'll be. I was intending to ask you what's coming next with Spectra, so it continues. But my question is, do you also this kind of reactions from the crowds at concerts? Do you take that into consideration when kind of feeling where you want to go next with the music? And I'd like to ask also a question. What are the differences between Alameda in the previous decade and now in this decade when it comes to concerts? Are there similarities? What are the differences?
Well, we've become like 1000% more professional now. Like really, because yeah, Alameda is mostly like a concert band. We don't play many rehearsals. We don't rehearse that much. We definitely perform more concerts than we rehearse, but it's become more. It shifted more towards like a club music. So live people are reacting more. I don't know how to call it. They're more engaged because our music became more engaging. So people, you know, dance at our concerts, which never obvious like never happened pre-pandemic era. And it's more like, you know, a club music experience than it is like rock or experimental music experience. So people are very engaged, they dance, which is obviously great for us. I mean, not always, because, you know, we play different venues and some people still like expect Alameda to be this weird psychedelic experimental band, which we are not anymore. But we started taking care very strongly of our live performances. We travel with our sound engineer, who's amazing, and he does a great job. So we really want our sound to be powerful and punchy, and we took care of like things like our presence on stage, which we never really cared about earlier. So we became more professionalized, more engaging, and I think that overall more exciting live. This is mostly what we do with Alameda. We play live, we give people strong experience, we invite them to dance, we invite them to have a good time. But you know, our music is still like, if somebody wants to just listen to the sounds, they're still interesting, they're still quite experimental, they're still quite avant-garde in some respect. So you know, you can just sit down, close your eyes and listen to the music, but definitely it won't be easy for you because it is very danceable now.
Yeah, physical and rhythmical.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this would be all my questions. We're almost at half an hour. I just have one more question from my editor. She asked me to ask you this. You're also involved in the record label Brutality Garden. And my final question is, what do you feel like working in the publishing business in the record label? And is that in the name of the label and in any way connected to the famous book by Christopher Dunn about Tropicalia?
Yeah, it's definitely connected. The name is obviously a translation of lyrics from one song of Gilberto Gil. I guess it was in the Jalea Geral. It was the phrase Brutality Garden that was like, then it was the title of the book and now it's the title of a label. So yeah, that's a good, it's nice that somebody noticed that. And I mean, we're like officially called a label, but we are not really in the label business. I mean, it's just, you know, a group of friends that just like support each other and send demos to each other, and then we just release them under one label. But it's not really, it's not professional in any way. We don't make any money out of it. We mostly lose money. and we kind of don't care. I mean, it's just to run a label, you have to have like a very specific set of skills, to quote Liam Neeson. And I don't have this set of skills, man. This is more for me, it's like, you know, just gathering some people together and just having one platform to release their music. So it still makes more sense to do so because they're more visible that way. Mm-hmm. But we have like no ambition to become like a proper record label. This is still just like a net label, and I don't think that we're gonna expand anymore because like labels are not like what they used to be in the past. So I mean, I love like for example Principa Discos. This is the label from Lisbon.
Mm-hmm.
I love and I buy like basically everything that they release. So it's nice, it's cool to have like, you know, just this kind of loyalty to the label and the trust in the label, that you know that basically everything they release is good and you can just buy it, you know, everything. And so I understand this impulse, but I'm not like really devoted to it. I would have to be very devoted and probably not do other things. I would have to be like very good at promotional stuff. I would have to do,
yeah,
you know, deal with things like social media, which I hate. I would have to go to, you know, just like the I don't know how it is called in Slovenia, but we have like this spaces where you can go with your records and other labels present their records and they sell their records. And, you know, I never go to these things. Mm. I just hate it. I don't care. So I'm not gonna do it, and this is why, you know, our label will always be kind of like a just amateur platform for friends.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you're a musician, so
yeah, this is definitely what I want to focus on. And I know good labels in Poland that are really doing a great job, and they all are not musicians. They all have other jobs. So yeah, this is very telling.
Yeah, of course, it's like I actually said it, it's a business. So
yeah, it's
you
a
have
business.
To be a businessman.
You have to be a businessman, and I'm definitely not a businessman.
Yeah,
I never
will. Thank you so much for the interview, and thank you for coming to Ljubljana. We can't wait to hear you play and to meet you all. And
good time, definitely.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a Friday, so go for it.
Okay. Cool.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure. No problem. Yeah.
And goodbye, good luck, and see you on Friday.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Eres interview.